Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading as we go into the long three-day Labor Day weekend. December hard red winter wheat is 705 and a half, up 2 1/4. December soft wheat is 657 and 3/4, up 3 1/2. September corn is 495 and a half, down 1 3/4. December 478 and 3/4, down 2 3/4. September soybeans 1422 and 3/4, down 7 1/4. November 1355, down 13 1/2. They've been as low today as 1346. September soybean meal 465.40, down $2. October 429.40, down 450. September soybean oil 43.53, down 25. October at 43.64, down 26. August live cattle 123.65, up 10 cents. September feeders 156.70, up 47 1/2. And October lean hogs are 87.12 1/2, and they are down 20.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Nice to be with you again.
Before we get rolling on the weekend of how traders will look at futures, a quick comment from you. What did you learn, if anything, out at the Farm Progress Show?
You know, I think the biggest thing that the boots on the ground, as I call them, the producers I met throughout the week out there were suggesting to me was that depending on what part of the grain belt you were in, you were getting hurt in both corn and beans on yield potential if you had not gotten some of the rains like the Princeton area and like some of the southern Illinois areas had been lucky enough to get a week and a half ago. I think the other thing that probably resonated from what I was talking about at my speaking engagements was the idea that, and I think today is a real good day to talk about this because some of the big global numbers have been coming out from the International Grains Councils and the EU Commission. But, Dave, in the August report by USDA, they said that corn supplies, the ending stocks this year, would go up from 123 million tons to 150 million tons. All of that was going to be due to the United States. And so I think it's really imperative that we realize that the U.S. crop is the world crop this year in terms of building stocks back up again. And when the European Commission came out today and cut stocks by about 7 million tons, or a little over 5 million tons, it was a 7% cut. And that's a big number because that means that we're going to have to rely even more upon the United States supplies. And so I think those are the two biggest things. Without question, no matter who I talked with, it was just impossible to get a gauge on where the bean yields were at this point and how much damage has been done at this point.
Taking that into account, though, traders took profits, have been taking profits this week, not expected end of the month, end of the weekend, and three-day weekend going in deliveries. It's a little bit uncertainty about the weather prospects for the second week of the forecast. When they come back on Monday night and they learn that it did not indeed rain anywhere significantly over the holiday weekend, they look out 7 days and there's not a lot of rain in the forecast, will they pick up where they left off?
Yeah, it's a great point because there are a ton of moving parts today, and I think you've named most of them, but there's also the fact that there's a question now about the Syrian strike by the United States, and especially since Britain kind of kicked down the idea in Parliament, and we saw crude oil and we saw the gold market really correct yesterday in the afternoon, and that continues through today. The Secretary of State is supposed to be speaking here in a few hours, but that, I think, also has caught some traders off guard, and maybe the soybeans are finding some trading sympathy off of that as well. But to me, in the final analysis, the crop size is still shrinking. Deliverable supplies are next to non-existent. Basis for meal continues to go up, especially in the western Corn Belt. A break in the weather on September 9th is probably too late for the crop, based upon both people I've spoken with in agriculture, and weather people would suggest the same thing. And the demand is still not being rationed. And so I think at the end of the day, unless we get a real surprise rain event next week, I think there's probably still more upside than downside heading into the September USDA report. And I think this is where the puts and the profitability per acre come in. Last thing I'll say is the Dow Jones UBS grain chart technicals are still very supportive heading into the weekend, and it's very healthy that the wheat is actually the leader to the upside today.
So it's reasonable to think, as Michael Coriander thinks, that we're looking at a yield of 41 and getting smaller?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, and I would equate it to we have taken, by going back up to that old high of 1409 and three quarters in November, we have taken the crop below a 200 million bushel carryover. I would suspect we're probably close to 175, 180 based upon my model. But I think the other thing that I noticed this week as being on the road most of the week was we charged the market higher in the front part of the week, and then we took a lot of the gains back at the end of the week as the weather models changed. I think we'll have probably a similar structure next week when we come back, because we got to realize crop conditions are almost without a doubt going to drop substantially in some of the states. And we also saw the drought monitor expand. It's pretty hard to see a good corn yield with an immature crop in Iowa and a good bean yield with such an immature crop in Iowa when you see Iowa's in 60% drought right now. And so I think they'll come back in the trade unless, like I say, there's a surprise rain event on the weekend or the first part of next week, that with the idea that we're going to go ahead and take this thing higher again, and then they're going to have to weigh whether they're going to keep it higher so that we can start rationing demand, because clearly by the export sales, we really didn't ration demand in the soybeans. And I know that what we're talking about right now is very friendly and supportive and bullish, the soybeans as far as price action, but this is where you scale up sell. This is a supply-driven weather rally like last year that you don't want to let go of eventually. So September report is a real crucial time to have a lot of business done on my book.
Why has not corn responded as favorably as soybeans to fundamental factors?
I think going back to the top of the conversation, I think the trade in general has been strung out on a U.S. crop supply, building the global market back up, and I think they're going to have to walk that back. And I think especially with September delivery now in place and zero deliveries in corn and only 19 in wheat this morning, I think the feed grains are probably going to get looked at with quite a bit more respect here now that especially wheat harvest is over and some of these big numbers are starting to come down in some key areas. I think the Black Sea is probably the next place you're going to see numbers come down in terms of feed grains. And I would say also Australia. I saw this morning Australian producers are starting to hold back on their sales because they're worried about their crop, especially in certain areas of the eastern wheat belt. So I think all these working parts together are starting to really move more in synchronicity. We didn't have that earlier this year. There was some good news, there was a lot of bad news, and the trade was in the mode of buying beans and selling corn and never really got shaken out of that tree.
So as long as the gaps are not filled from Monday, what are the upside potentials for corn and beans over the next 2 to 3 weeks?
Well, you bring up a good point about the gaps. You know, you can go all the way down to the breakout of 1330, 1331 area and really do no technical damage. Now, if you would go below 1330 on a weekly close in November futures, that's and I've even pushed it up to 1345 with my client base on a weekly close below. I don't want to waste any time and get my puts rolled up here because they have come down in value quite a bit, so a roll-up would be pretty useful at this stage of the game. As far as upside potential, it goes back to if you don't know what supply is, then you go back to where do you choke off demand. And earlier this year, we really choked off demand when we got to $600 a ton at the Gulf of Mexico. Using the current basis we're trading
seconds.
Right now, you're really talking around $15.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave, and nice job at the farm show for you and Todd and that programming department. It was a wonderful, wonderful job.
Appreciate it very much. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. November soybeans are 13.53 and three quarters, down 14 and three quarters. And December corn's 4.77 and three quarters, down 3 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.